Welcome to the newest member of the Green Bay Packers, Kenny Clark. The Packers used the 27th pick in the first round to grab the defensive lineman from UCLA. To learn more about Clark, we bring on Tim Van Voren of Fox 6 in Milwaukee. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the NFL draft and the newest member of the Green Bay Packers, Kenny Clark. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Tim Van Voren of Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Mr. Van Voren, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Glad you could join us on the show here for the first time. You were there at Lambeau Field last night when the Packers selected Clark. Can you kind of sum up Ted Thompson's reaction and comments on the pick?
I guess I would say it's like a Ted Thompson draft always seems to be. It was interesting to watch the enticing names kind of fall down to the Packers. And you start to think, well, I never thought this guy would be available. I never thought that guy would be available. How might that guy fit? Oh, my goodness, this is breaking the right way. And then the Packers don't trade their pick. I personally, going into the draft, thought they might be trading out of the first round. So they don't trade their pick. They don't go for one of these guys who fell down. They go for the guy they probably slotted in there right from the beginning, Kenny Clark. Ted Thompson comes out and explains he's a young guy. He's mature for his age. He's very versatile, and as Ted always says on round one, we think we got off to a good start.
Kind of getting to your own personal reaction to the pick, what did you think of the Packers picking someone on the defensive line as opposed to linebacker or offensive lineman or some other position?
And Brian, you and I talked down at the Combine in February. We certainly looked at the inside linebackers very closely at that time, as I did for sure. Looked at the tight ends very closely. But as you get closer and closer to the draft and you maybe get a little bit more into the evaluation of the players, I think front seven was where the Packers were going to go. And, makes a little more sense, I think, for me to go on the defensive line because you help those inside linebackers right behind them. Now, Miles Jack could turn out to be an awesome player. Reggie Ragland could turn out to be an awesome player. They both have health question marks, at least at this stage. So I equate it, Brian, to the start of NFL free agency. You can draw up these scenarios in your mind, but then the Packers play it pretty much the way they always play it. And other teams get the headlines and players are moving here and there and these guys on the draft board, big names are going up and down in different places. The Packers do it the Packers way. And to me, based on their need on this football team, they address that need. They get a big guy in the middle of that defensive line who theoretically will be a heavy rotational player, and that helps whoever's going to be right behind him at inside linebacker.
It's interesting. On social media, I had a follower tell me last night, every pick in the NFL draft is a crapshoot, so why not take Miles Jack with the guy with the high upside and the high ceiling? Do you think the conservative nature of the Packers' medical staff played a role in passing these guys up, not just Jack, but Ragland as well?
Well, I think there has to be a medical component to it. Exactly how conservative the Packers turn out to be, I think, will be interesting when the dust settles on these guys, particularly Jack, who, let's face it, in my view and based on what you read, easily could have been a top 10 pick, if not even higher. So a lot of teams had an issue with Miles Jack tumbling down through the first round. Ragland, maybe less so, but then with the medical revelation that he has an enlarged aorta valve, that's something that a lot of teams are going to be squeamish about. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how far those guys fall, exactly what kind of careers they have. But I think the Packers, again, they play things largely safe. When's the last real risky draft pick that you can remember, particularly high in the draft, Brian? That's just not the way they go about it. When you believe in draft and develop, you're less likely to take a flyer because you want that foundation. Clearly, that's the Packers' approach. And I know fans can take issue with that approach and wish it would be tweaked a little bit. But that is the Packer approach. They are true to their colors.
We're talking to Tim Van Voren of Fox 6 in Milwaukee here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Tim, do you think Clark is going to be able to fill the void left by B.J. Raji's temporary retirement?
Well, temporary is the word there on B.J. I will be surprised if B.J. comes back to play in the NFL. I just think, you know, a man of that size, once you're out a year, you know, Johnny Jolly came back after being out. But I just don't think you can bank, at least, on B.J. Raji coming back to the NFL, period, or to the Packers specifically. So I think you're saying, you know, this isn't a stopgap. This is a need you have going forward. Clark seems to fit the bill. You know, he doesn't seem like a terribly exciting, quote-unquote, exciting, sexy player, but that probably isn't what they need. You put Clay Matthews back on the outside, you're still banking on Julius Peppers doing something for you. Mike Daniels is getting big money on the interior of the defensive line. You know, Kenny Clark, based on what you hear, based on what you read, based on who you talk to, should be a contributor into that mix. So, again, I think while other players, it's in the eye of the beholder. There are other players who could all that we would be saying the same things about this morning. You know, I think the Packers obviously banked on Clark, and he was there for them. They're very excited about him. They've gone to UCLA several times. You know, Brett Hundley last year, they're very happy. I think Brett Hundley exceeded their expectations in terms of what type of pro prospect he is. You know, Dayton Jones a little bit here or there. Don't even forget Jonathan Franklin just a couple years ago from UCLA, and they really liked him before he had some injury issues. And obviously he can't play anymore. So, you know, I think familiarity, safety, conservative, whatever you want to say about the Packers, I think they feel very good about Kenny Clark.
I'm perhaps just being a little bit of a devil's advocate here, but should the Packers maybe be gun-shy about these players from UCLA, seeing as the last time they took a defensive lineman from UCLA in the first round, Dayton Jones, he hasn't really lived up to expectations so far. Franklin didn't work out. Should they be gun-shy of these guys?
Well, I hear what you're saying there, and when you list the UCLA guys again, I say Hundley exceeds their expectations at this point going forward. But again, best case scenario, he doesn't play a meaningful down all season or for the next, you know, few seasons. Dayton Jones is, I agree with you, not at expectations to this point for sure. Up and down, he gives you some flashes. They haven't given up on him. Obviously, a little position move there. But I think more so, and, you know, Franklin, to me, injury, you know, he had the 100-yard game, and then you really just can't, you can't judge a guy who gets hurt, as far as I'm concerned, good or bad. But I think it points out, Brian, the defensive line, as much as UCLA, it's hard to project these guys. This is the fourth first-round pick on the defensive line for Ted Thompson and the sixth first- or second-round defensive line pick for Ted Thompson. B.J. Raji, I think you'd say that worked out well. You got contribution there. You know, the other guys, Justin Harrell, certainly not. Jarrell Worthy, certainly not. Thompson has a reputation, and deservedly so, of a great drafter, but at defensive line, I would say it's fallen short of really being right on target at that position.
I know we're projecting here a little bit, but what do you think about the role Clark will play? Is he going to be a tackle? Is he going to be a defensive end? And do you think he'll be able to play on third downs?
I guess that's the question, because then you get into the value. You know, if the guy can play on third down, if he's in there right from week one and he's playing, you know, a high percentage of snaps, then I think you have no issues with Kenny Clark whatsoever. And as you said, we're projecting here. I think the Packers believe they have very good defensive line coaching in Mike Turgovac. They added Jerry Montgomery last year, who helps with that defensive line and is, you know, still kind of connected to these college age guys. And Kenny Clark's a young guy. So I think the ability to relate a little bit there is something the Packers think they have in their favor. And I believe, you know, going into this draft, and we're still looking at the draft in total now, Brian, I would say in the first three, four rounds, you had to get a defensive lineman, you have to get an inside linebacker and you know, maybe an offensive lineman who doesn't play much at all this year, an inside linebacker who plays 50% of the time, and a defensive lineman who's a rotational player. However you want to shake those picks out, well, they go defensive line first. If he's a heavy rotational player, I think they've achieved their goal.
That kind of leads me right into my next question then. I mean, as we look at day two tonight of the NFL draft, what, not necessarily looking at names, but I mean, what are some of the key positions you think they need to address? You think it's linebacker and offensive line?
You know, again, I don't think it, last year I thought they needed an inside linebacker. And they surprised a lot of folks by waiting until the fourth round for Jake Ryan. By the end of the year, Jake Ryan is playing a lot of snaps for you. I mean, what do they think about Sam Barrington? How far back is he on his rehab? Are they committing to him on the inside? I still say I would not be surprised at all. And my view is you get an inside linebacker here in the next couple of rounds. And I'm not surprised at all if they get an offensive lineman in the next couple of rounds. So say you get to the middle of Saturday. By then, I'm thinking you've added another defensive lineman, an inside linebacker, an offensive lineman, and then a best, you know, then you can go best player, not necessarily then chronologically, but I'm saying as you look at maybe their first five picks, you get some best player mixed in there. But I think you get an offensive lineman mixed in there, and I think you get an inside linebacker mixed in there.
Before we let you go, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with this, but I know it's a kind of a talking point for fans on social media today. With both Miles Jack and Reggie Ragland still out there, not being drafted in the first round, would it be worth it for the Packers to trade up and grab one of them?
Well, what about Jalen Smith? I think you have to throw him into the mix then, too.
Okay.
You know, you're talking three guys who, if healthy, would be way up on anybody's chart. The big there is if. And I think the Packers and every other team has to consider the medical side of it. But, you know, coming into this draft, and you were at the Combine, Brian, with me, I enjoyed talking to Jalen Smith. I thought he had a very mature perspective on what his situation is. Didn't talk to Miles Jack. I didn't talk to Reggie Ragland. But those guys have gone through things in the last couple of days. Their livelihood is in front of them. And no matter which one of those three, if they get to full health, I would say you have to bank on the fact they're going to be chip on their shoulder, tremendous players, tremendous, tremendous value players based on wherever they wind up going. But this whole sentence starts with the word, if they get to health. So Jack Ragland, and I say Jalen Smith as well, maybe not as high as those other two in terms of the gamble, because they at least look like they can come in and play next year. Smith won't be in that case, in that boat, but he is in the same boat in terms of you're trying to project, you're trying to look at them medically based on the type of player they could be as professionals.
It'll be fun to see how it plays out, Tim. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to me this morning. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the draft and keep up the good work there at Fox 6.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. I know we'll all be watching the next several picks, and they figure to be interesting in their own right.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Tim. Take care.
You too. See you.
All right. Tim Van Voren of Fox 6 in Milwaukee joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning as we wrap up the first round of the NFL draft, get ready for rounds 2 and rounds 3 tonight. And thanks to Tim for joining us. Thanks for you, the listener, for joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
The Green Bay Packers addressed the defensive line in the first round, making Kenny Clark their selection with the 27th overall pick. And but getting my reaction to the selection here, the pick, some things that jump out to me here. Kenny Clark was a third-year, some of these things Ted Thompson mentioned last night, and I'm kind of, you know, not necessarily original stuff here, but I think important things about Kenny Clark. He's a third-year junior, and he's really young. He's like 21 years old, and I know Ted Thompson pointed this out. He was a team captain this last year in 2015 for UCLA, and for him to be able to do that as a third-year junior, you know, a lot of guys, you know, around college football, they don't get to be captains until their seniors, which for many of them is their fourth or even their fifth year if they redshirted. Kenny Clark did not redshirt. So, you know, he's really young, 21 years old. I think there's a lot of room for growth there with him. And the feeling that he has not hit his peak yet, he can be the type of guy that really grows into his body. I don't know how much room for growth he has, perhaps a little bit. But, I mean, there's a lot more for him to learn yet. And I do think it'll take some time. I don't think he's going to be the kind of guy who's out there first down, second down, third down. You know, he's not going to play every snap this year, and maybe never. I mean, defensive linemen in general are rotated in and out of the game more heavily than any other position on the defensive side of the football. They're such big bodies. They wear down. They like to keep them fresh as they can. I mean, some guys play more than others, and you're hoping a year or two down the road, Kenny Clark will be the type of guy who's out there, you know, more than anybody else, at least, or just as much as Mike Daniels, at least. I mean, you could really see Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark teaming up for a long time on that defensive line. That would really be a good thing for the Green Bay Packers. And one of the things that really sticks out about Kenny Clark to me is the high number of tackles he made. He made 75 tackles this past season, 2015 alone, which is an insanely high number for a nose tackle, or a guy who played nose tackle the majority of the time. I mean, but those are the kind of guys who make the least amount of tackles on the time, just because they're big, they're slow for the most part, or, you know, slower than the linebackers and defensive backs on the team who can really hustle and use their speed to make tackles. But Kenny Clark, yeah, I mean, what he does is, he makes plays up and down the line of scrimmage, like left to right. He's really good moving laterally. And he can get, you know, from playing the nose tackle position, all of a sudden he'll make a tackle over by the hashes. And you're like, how did he get there? He reads really well. He gets that head up really, really well. Is perhaps better than anybody I've ever seen. And sometimes you worry a little bit that, you know, they look up and the pads rise up and they don't use their leverage. But Clark does. I mean, he's a high school wrestler as well. And the type of guy who uses his leverage really well. It's interesting, you know, in watching film of Kenny Clark, there was quite a few number of times he would actually not even get into a three-point stance or a four-point stance. He would kind of take like a one-yard running start on obvious passing downs when it's like third and long. And that's not unheard of by any means, but he seemed to do it an unusually large amount of time. And I mean, the bull rush is his thing. He tries to use his strength to bull his way into the offensive backfield. And I just wonder if he's going to have to get used to rushing more from a three-point stance more often being in the NFL. The Packers do that as well sometimes, especially when they're kind of in their psycho package, I guess, where you kind of got guys moving around. You don't know where they're going to rush from. A lot of them stand up when there's a long distance of yards to go and they can afford to, you know, bet that it's not going to be a run. So just interesting how Kenny Clark played there at UCLA. Kind of the one-yard running start is something I haven't seen a whole lot of players do. You know, especially players of his size, or at least as much as he did. But yeah, I mean, the high number of tackles, I think Kenny Clark is versatile. I think he can play all over the defensive line. You know, he played a lot of on the, you know, inside the guard box in college, you know, from the zero technique, the nose, played a lot of one technique, you know, on passing downs, especially things like that. Plays the three technique. He never played a lot out on, you know, head up on the tackle, but I think he's got the length to do it. He's like 6'3". And I think, you know, when the Packers are out there in their base defense, when they're in their 3-4 base, and LaTroy Guyon is out there, I think Guyon could play the nose and Clark can play that end position. I think they can do that. And it wouldn't be a whole lot from what the Packers were doing with you know, B.J. Raji and Ryan Pickett when they were out there, you know, 2010, 2011. Those guys were both nose tackle type of guys, but one playing the nose, one playing the end. So I think they're kind of going back to that a little bit here. And I think Kenny Clark has that versatility. I mean, maybe he'll end up playing more than one in the rather than the other. We'll see how it plays out between him and Guyon and how they kind of share duties there. One more thing I wanted to play for you here is I actually have the interview with Kenny Clark from the NFL Combine. I'm not going to play you the whole thing here, just a very few minutes. And he'll later talk about some of the players he compares himself to in the NFL, which I think is really interesting and you want to hear because he mentioned some Packers players. So I mean, keep in mind this was back in February when he said these things. And we'll kick things off actually with you'll hear me ask a question. And what I want to know from Clark, watch being a fan of college football, I think it was really impressive his production. Considering the fact that if you were to follow UCLA, there was another very good defensive tackle on that team. His name's Eddie Vanderdoss. He got injured in like the first game of the season or week two of the season. I can't remember what it was, really early on. And he's really good. It was the type of situation where teams would have to kind of, pick and choose who are they going to double team, Vanderdoss or Clark. And Vanderdoss gets injured out for the year, and all the attention goes on to Clark, and he still was able to be productive. So I kind of ask him about that, and you'll see here.
Is your number of statistics this year, the numbers you put up, remarkable considering Eddie wasn't there next to you?
Yeah, definitely. To me, Eddie was a big key. Eddie was a big key in our defense, man. And when he got hurt, I was so devastated. It was crazy. And just the year. I mean, we killed the game at when we played Nebraska. Just me and Eddie dominated that whole game. And when he got hurt, it was mind-boggling to me. And I was extremely sad. And I just felt the need. I needed to pick it up. And the coaches and the players around me, all my guys around me, they all did a good job of backing me up, and our linebackers did a good job of staying in their gaps, and I mean we just all made plays together. So I just think I did a good job of making the plays that came into me, and and everybody else just did their job. So.
And how did it change the dynamic of the defense with Miles Jack in the defense and out of the defense?
Say again.
Miles Jack, what did he lend to that defense when he was?
Oh, Miles Jack.
Penn State defensive tackle Austin Johnson, podium A.
He's a freak
A.
of an athlete.
Penn State defensive tackle Austin Johnson, podium A.
I feel like with Miles, I mean, he could shut down a whole side of the field if he wants to. Whoever he's lined up on, he's just as athletic. If he lines up and gets a slot, he's just as athletic as that slot. So I feel like Miles is a great player, and when we had him on the field, I definitely felt that quarterbacks didn't really want to attack him as much. He didn't have as much picks and he didn't have as much interceptions and stuff like that. But any quarterbacks didn't want to go throw to Miles anyway. So now and if they did, I mean, you saw what he did. It was either deflected or it was intercepted. So Miles did his part definitely, and we missed him during the season too.
Your versatility.
Yeah, I like to watch a lot of players. I watch Haloti Ngata a lot. I like to watch Geno Atkins. I think me and Geno Atkins have the same like body type. I watch a lot of players, man. I watch Mike Daniels from Packers. I watch some of our old players, Dayton Jones, and I just watch. I mean, I watch all kinds of defenses and schemes and just I watch a lot of players, man. I mean, I don't really have a favorite, but what I could say, I could see a lot of myself playing when Haloti Ngata plays nose. When Haloti Ngata plays nose, see myself doing a lot of things at the nose position. Seeing Geno Atkins play the one shaded or in the three, I could see myself doing a lot of things like that. So, I could see myself doing all kinds of things in the league.
There you go. Kenny Clark, UCLA. That was from the NFL Combine back in February. Just one final thing here about Kenny Clark, and this is interesting if you haven't heard this before, and you know, his father was convicted of murder. And Kenny Clark, you know, it happened at 9 years old. From 9 years old onward, he was basically the man of the house, kind of held that role in his family. And what's interesting is there was a report on ESPN just recently that a judge is currently hearing new testimony for wrongful imprisonment. Now, I'm not going to sit here and judge whether Kenny Clark's father, who I think is actually Kenny Clark Sr., is his name, whether he's innocent, whether he's guilty. I mean, I have no clue into the intricacies of this case. But I know a key witness has actually recanted his original testimony, which is kind of, you know, put kind of the impetus for, you know, kind of trying to get him out of prison. And it's just an interesting side story here, kind of some background on Kenny Clark. I encourage you to go to ESPN.com, kind of Google it. There's a video out there. It's fairly lengthy. It's like 6 minutes long. You can really kind of dig into it a little bit, find out a little bit more about his background. It's very interesting. So check it out if you want. But that leads into our next segment.
The day ahead.
Rounds 2 and rounds 3 of the NFL draft begin tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time on ESPN and the NFL Network. And what I'll just briefly do here is give you some predictions for what's going to happen today. I think there's a lot of interesting names still out there on the board that didn't get drafted in round 1 that you perhaps expected it to. And you got to hope that a few of these names kind of fall maybe to the Packers. I'm not sure how far they could fall because, again, you know, the Packers, unless they trade up, you know, they still got to wait, 28, 27, 28 picks, whatever it is, for guys to get to them. But, I mean, you know, take a look at some of the names that are out there. We talked about the inside linebackers already, Miles Jack and Reggie Ragland, Jalen Smith. I can't get past the injury to Jalen Smith. I'm not sure I can pull the trigger on him. I couldn't. Miles Jack to a lesser extent. I'm not quite as, you know, from the little bit I know of the injury, it sounds, you know, Jalen Smith for sure out for 2016. Maybe may not play ever. Miles Jack can play. It's just you're wondering if he might have a short career or things like that. I can get on board of that a little bit more, but, you know, some of the edge rushers out there like Emmanuel Ogba, Kevin Dodd that didn't get selected, offensive lineman Jason Spriggs from Indiana. These are some of the names you wonder if maybe they could get to the Green Bay Packers. LaRaven Clark of Texas Tech. I'm not sure whether they will or not, but two names who I think might be around at the end of round one, and I gave you one of the predictions already in our mock draft episode of Railbird Central back on Monday. Ohio State inside linebacker Joshua Perry. I would love to see the Packers take him. I think he could be a starter at inside linebacker. I think he's the ideal size. I think he's got the requisite amount of athleticism to stick around in coverage. I would love if he would be there at the end of round two and the Packers could select him. If not him, outside linebacker Shalik Calhoun from Michigan State. Keep an eye on that name as well. He's you know, a guy who has had big-time production at Michigan State basically for three consecutive years where you're talking like double-digit tackles for a loss, a lot of number of sacks. He's kind of, I think, you know, a guy who played defensive end in college but can really fit that 3-4 outside linebacker type of role and really be a pass rusher. Maybe not an elite pass rusher who's going to get you 12 sacks a year, but if he can get 8, I think he can do things like that. And who knows, maybe he exceeds expectations. So those kind, I kind of feel right now, those, if I had to guess right now, it's going to be Joshua Perry or Shalik Calhoun, your round two selection for the Green Bay Packers. Tough to say round three. I mean, we're getting, you know, further down. I don't know who's going to be, you know, still available. You know, in my mock draft a while back, I said Connor McGovern, offensive lineman from Missouri. I like him. He could be the kind of guy who comes off the board late round three. I also like Virginia Tech outside linebacker Dottie Nicholas. You know, if they don't go Calhoun in round two, I could see him going Dottie Nicholas in round three. Keep an eye on that name as well. So there you go. There's about three, four names for you there to keep an eye on today as round two and rounds three transpire late Friday night. Packers past and present will be announcing the team selection, with former wide receiver Antonio Freeman announcing the second round pick and linebacker Sam Barrington announcing the third round pick as the nominee for the Walter Payton Award. Representatives league-wide will announce their team's third-round pick. So kind of honoring Sam Barrington there and the good deeds he does in the community. So you can see him on television tonight. Over the weekend, the Wisconsin Hall of Fame will be holding its induction ceremony Saturday in Milwaukee for the first time, I believe, in like 7 years. It kind of went away and now is coming back, which is a good thing. Former Packers wide receiver Donald Driver is part of this year's class of enshrinees, along with former Wisconsin basketball coach Bo Ryan. I know former Packers offensive lineman Jerry Kramer will also be on hand representing the organization's Super Bowl I team. And I know tickets are still available for that if you happen to be in the Milwaukee area and interested in checking it out. In fact, I even think they have a deal on tickets there. So that's Saturday. Also on Saturday, the Packers are hosting a draft party at Lambeau Field inside the atrium at 1919 Kitchen and Tap. Jerry Kramer's going to be there. Dave Robinson, Hall of Famer, former running back Gary Ellerson, now a radio personality and a former guest here on Railbird Central. He's going to be there at the party. Team president Mark Murphy. So check that out. If you're in Green Bay, want to go to a Packers sponsored draft party right there inside the stadium. And finally, running back Eddie Lacy is going to be doing a public autograph signing Saturday at Waukesha Sports. I don't know the time off the top of my head, but all you got to do is Google that, and I'm sure you could find out. It is going to cost you, but if you want to see Eddie Lacy get an autograph, there you go. Saturday in Waukesha. And that's kind of what's happening in the next 24-hour plus period in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And that does it for today's episode. See you later, folks. Have a good weekend. We'll be wrapping up all the Packers draft picks after they're done. So we'll see you later. I'm excited for round two and round three and the whole draft to take place. And we'll talk about it when it does. So we'll see you. Have a good weekend, everyone. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. And we'd really appreciate it if you did that. I leave you today with a song called On the Road by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go.